Welcome to Share Public Health, the Midwestern Public Health Training Center's podcast, connecting you to public health topics, issues, and colleagues throughout our region and the country, highlighting that we all share in public health. Thank you for tuning in to Building Health Equity, the Institute for Public Health Practice Research and Policy series, highlighting health equity practice throughout Iowa. Over the course of the series, we will be inviting speakers to dive deeper into their experiences in health equity practice, to serve as a learning enrichment opportunity for health department staff and anyone interested in building health equity. As a heads up, these podcasts have been reformatted from the original Building Health Equity webinar series recordings.
Welcome, everyone, to the 16th installment of Building Health Equity webinar series, Health Equity for Financial Literacy. Today's objectives, we will be discussing the most pressing concerns and issues related to financial literacy through the health equity lens. We will be addressing populations that face barriers to achieving financial literacy, and we'll explore any potential partnerships or strategies to improve financial literacy among diverse populations. I'm Tricia Kitzman. I am faculty here at the University of Iowa College of Public Health. I work with the Institute for Public Health Practice here at the university, and we receive funding to be able to provide these health equity trainings as we move forward. Now I'll go ahead and have our guests introduce themselves, and then we will move into our Q&A. Lindsay, do you want to kick us off?
Absolutely. Thank you, Tricia. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Lindsay Canaday. I am the Vice President of Business Development here at Green State Credit Union. We are an Iowa-based organization that serves Iowa and all of the states that are touching the state of Iowa. As the largest credit union in the state, our goals really center around supporting our communities that we are located in, as well as where we do business. And so my role at Green State is really to bridge a gap between community and the credit union to make sure that we are serving all people, and I have an emphasis on focusing on people of color, especially that are in marginalized communities, to be able to make sure that we are offering them products and services and explaining them at the level that they understand and possibly in the language that they understand. And our goals really center around taking care of the whole person and making sure that we are meeting their needs in a number of different ways. And so there's a lot of connectivity to what we do at the credit union as it relates to health equity.
Awesome. Lindsay, thank you so much and welcome. Keisha.
Hi, my name is Keisha Fields. My pronouns are she, her, hers. I am a diversity specialist at Polk County. We are one of the the largest county in Iowa, population-wise. Someone told me, like, not land-wise, but population-wise, we are the largest. And we serve close to 500,000 people in the area. And we also serve Dallas. In a sense, we serve the community, greater Des Moines area. So sometimes we serve people in the Dallas, Warren community as well. And our focus is on leading the way and focusing on the people that we serve in the different communities that we serve. I am typically focused on in-house our employees. I believe that being a service to our employees and showing what service, good service looks like for our employees will also trickle down to the people that they serve and the jobs that they do. So I am a resource internally for our employees of what does belonging look like? You know, what does welcoming look like? You know, what does being a service to others look like?
Awesome. Welcome, Keisha. I am happy to have you here today as well. We'll go ahead. And again, just to remind our audience, please feel free to shoot any questions or comments that you have in either the chat or in the Q&A. And we will make sure we share those not only with the group, but with our guest speakers today. So I know we kind of covered this, but just want to make sure there's nothing else you would like to add. Is there anything that you didn't cover in kind of your background, who you are and who you represent that you would like to touch on before we jump in further?
I did get my government career started in public health. So I originally started my government career at Johnson County Public Health, and I will say that it just defined me as like what my profession is. So even though I am a diversity specialist at core, public health is is my core. And so everything that I do, I always think of in the mind frame of how can everyone to achieve success, overall well-being. So I will say like public health is my core.
That's awesome. Thank you, Keisha. Lindsay?
Yeah, and I will add, so majority of my background has been spent in financial services. However, before joining Green State, I was with United Way of Central Iowa. And while there, I spent a lot of time focusing on data and understanding the gaps that exist, not just in central Iowa, but across Iowa and other parts of the U.S., really understanding cause and effect. And so oftentimes with United Way, their model is education, income, and health. And they focus kind of in that circle of how do those things impact each other. And so coming into the credit or coming back to financial services and into the credit union, my time spent at United Way really helped me to understand that connectivity on a deeper level and how we as financial institutions play a big part in that ecosystem.
Wonderful. Thank you. So jumping in, what are the current issues and concerns related to financial literacy through the lens of health equity? Lindsay, I'll kick it off to you first.
Yes. Yeah, so some of the biggest issues with financial literacy is the, I would say, lack of access or the lack of understanding the access that you have. Right. Oftentimes, people will come into our offices with one thought in mind of maybe opening an account or getting a loan, but not understanding that financial institutions are full service organizations. They are, in theory, meant to serve people for more than just lending and account services. There are investment products, there are credit builder options, and so it's really helping people to understand what they have access to and the services are free. And that's a big thing because there are a lot of services out on the market that people feel like they have to pay for. There's a lot of predatory services like credit repair that costs, as well as payday lenders. And oftentimes when people find themselves in situations where it's an emergency, they've had to go to the emergency room and receive services and care, and now they have a huge bill. Oftentimes they are turning to payday lenders and not to their traditional financial institutions to receive help. And so a lot of what we have had to do is break down some of the barriers and the myths around what it is that we do and how we serve people, and really educating them on what their options are. And so that's been a big thing, is making sure that we have connections with local health organizations and understanding that they can send people to us at no cost, right? It doesn't cost someone to walk into one of our organizations and or one of our branches and sit down and just have a conversation and learn about where they stand financially and how we can help them to reduce the stress and the burdens of their finances.
Wonderful. Thank you, Lindsay. Keisha.
I'll piggyback on what Lindsay said, like the lack of access to financial education and resources, especially in marginalized communities. I think, for example, for myself, there was a time where I worked six jobs thinking that having all these different types of income was going to help me, but it was stressful. I barely had time to myself. My mental state was just corrupt. And having that education and saying, Keisha, you work smarter, not harder, you know, and there's so many of people that have similar stories like me. You're grinding, but it's taking a emotional and mental toll on you. And that's not good for your overall health. So to have those resources available, or those navigators, the community navigators available, to have those conversations with someone that looks like me. And this ended up happening. I had a conversation with my supervisor that looked like me on health savings plan. I was so embarrassed to even talk to somebody about like what is a health savings plan, you know, but to have someone that looked like me and I felt comfortable with to say that question and not feel stupid. So just those connections with people to have those conversations of something that is uncomfortable. Finances is uncomfortable and you don't want to talk about it with everybody because you don't want to be embarrassed. It's like, oh, I got, you know, nickels in my account, you know, but it's like, you know, how can I increase that? You know, it's like, yeah, you at least you got something in your account. How can we increase it? How can we budget? How can we save? Things of that nature. So.
Keisha, you kind of touched on this. Are there certain populations that are facing more barriers with financial illiteracy? And if so, who are they?
So it's just the typical. So women in general have lower financial literacy, but just thinking about we came into the workforce later than men. Black and Hispanic people have lower financial capability. And that's history has shown why that is. There are barriers in place, you know, redlining, things of that nature, not being able to get loans, you know, so not having that access for a long period of time, you know, we are far behind. You know, so thinking about those women, people from marginalized communities, minorities, you know, we have the short end of the stick. So now it's like, what can we do better, you know, to educate and say that, hey, we can do better, you know, and we can help one another to do better.
Yeah. I echo every single comment that Keisha made and I would just love to add, you know, there are barriers for those that do not speak English. English is not their first language. They came from a country where their banking system is not the same as ours. So they are having to not only learn a new language, but then also learn how to manage their money and their finances. And then our healthcare system and all of these other systems that they are, transportation, you name it. There's all of these different barriers, right? But they're expected to navigate them in the same way that someone that grew up here and was born here did. And however, whatever way people feel about them being here, the reality is they're here, they're in our communities, they're working, they're paying taxes even. And it's amazing to me, or it's actually sad really to me, the lack of access that they even have, even more because of those different layers. And they want to participate, they want to contribute. And we see them walk in our doors every single day. And those are the people that are being taken advantage of the most. They are paying the most for the money that they are making through fees and transactional charges on non-traditional forms of payment systems. And it's unfortunate that we are not more welcoming and more supportive because these are, like I said, these are people that live and work with us every single day and their children interact with our children and they deserve to be able to achieve whatever goals and dreams they have as it relates to living and existing in our communities.
Yeah. And just thinking about it, you know, we expect people who come from different countries to assimilate to, you know, American standards. And every person is different. You know, we come from different backgrounds and it's not just easy to say, like I arrive in Iowa and now I know everything and I know what to access and I know all these things. It's like, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't. It takes time. It takes effort, but it's also feeling welcome to, you know, explore and be able to educate yourself. If you don't feel welcome, you feel like I'm in this alone. I am by myself. No one is out there to help me. So everyone is seen as, I can't touch you, you know, and that shouldn't be the case.
We did get a question in the Q&A. Is there, oh.
Yep. I'm actually going to post some links. Because I love this question. So there are actually several resources and reports out there in our community. I put the One Economy report. I'm going to put two others, but I'll touch on them before I drop them in. So the One Economy report started in 2017, and it's a report of Central Iowa that really shows the disparities between the Black Polk County and our counterparts. So that's just one report. There is a report, the Nor'easter Iowa report, that is over, it includes more counties in Iowa, And it was it focused on the Latinx population. And it similarly describes disparities in the Latinx community with their counterparts. And then the last report that I will point to is the ALICE report. And that's a report that's done by United Way and other agencies. So ALICE stands for Asset Limited, Income Constrained, Employed. So these are the people that are working in our community, but are not making enough to actually thrive. And so those are three reports that I typically point to when people ask about data, because they're a really good summary of the what's going on in Iowa. So I will post those links. Keisha?
And to, speaking on those reports, me coming in from Johnson County to Polk County and being aware of those reports in the community and the organizations working together to build those reports, like I love Johnson County. But Polk County showed me a different way of communities coming together, organizations coming together to build that rapport, you know, so everyone is in a know of what we can do better.
Awesome. Thank you both. So I think, Lindsay, you kind of touched on this, and Keisha, you did too. Just want to make sure we don't go too fast and I skip over this. Are there other additional resources available to support some of these populations that are having access issues, that are lacking maybe the right resources or don't know about those resources? Are there things that we haven't talked about yet that you would like to make sure we point out?
I use a lot of census data, but so my, again, I tend to focus more internally with Polk County employees, and I use the data internally to see, you know, who is in leadership, what do they look like, what has history shown, and how are we making sure that everyone can achieve, you know, leadership, advancement opportunities. So my stuff is more internally, but I'm always happy to share that stuff. It's public information. I work for the government. It's transparent.
Absolutely.
So you're always welcome to contact me, and I'll be happy to share that information.
Yeah, and I'll just add that there are a ton of free financial literacy resources around Iowa. So in Johnson County specifically, there are nonprofit organizations that have a focus of financial literacy, and oftentimes they provide classes or access to online courses, specifically for Green State. Through the Green State Foundation, we have free financial literacy courses on a plethora of topics. And we make those available not just to people that are members of the foundation, but our community partners and essentially anyone that's interested or wanting to learn more. Now, I will say I don't like necessarily promoting digital financial literacy only, because there is an issue with access even there. Like, even though we assume that people have access because almost everyone has a cell phone, right? The way people consume that information, though, is different. And some of the best resources for marginalized communities have been one-to-one financial literacy coaching, and just education in general. So when people get the opportunity to sit down and really talk about their own situation and really put their own numbers together, it's more beneficial than sitting in a general class and learning and or going through a module where you're not actually inputting your own data. So I always recommend personal financial coaching classes. Again, there are a ton of different free resources. I wish I was better prepared to provide some specific ones for Johnson County. However, there are several throughout the state. United Way is always a good resource because they fund a lot of financial literacy programs. As well as there are just other organizations and churches. I actually met with a woman from a church in Cedar Rapids called The Beacon, and they're providing home ownership courses every Tuesday for free to their to anyone in the community. And so there's a ton of different resources. And what my role at Green State is to really make sure that within each location that we serve, the individuals that are working in that branch know what their resources are in their community so that they can point people to different places to be able to go and get that support. So whether it's home buying or financial literacy, if you were to stop into any one of our branches, the goal and the hope is that if we can't help you or our help is limited, we can't provide that more in-depth one-to-one support, we can point you to a community partner that's already doing it.
Awesome. And Lindsay, we can always, when we do a follow-up and we post the webinar, we can always add additional links and information to kind of share with our audience. So awesome. No worries if you don't have it now, but it's definitely something that we can gather and put together and send out to the participants today, those folks that have registered, and then share that information. We've got a couple of things that have come in on the Q&A. And I think this one's more of a comment. When I volunteered at Macaulay, I'm assuming that's Catherine Macaulay, we provided financial literacy, but they're not sure if they do that still, but worth a place to check out, especially if you're in Eastern Iowa. The Catherine Macaulay Center is located in Cedar Rapids. As far as funding availability, are there any grant programs or financial literacy and education for our communities? I am not aware of specific funding, but Lindsay, Keisha, have either of you come across any funding opportunities?
So I'll say very specifically, through the Green State Foundation, we do fund financial literacy programs. So anyone that is a 501c3 organization that is providing financial literacy is welcome to apply for funding with us. Our goal is to really spread it out across our footprint. And so places like the Macaulay Center are one of the organizations that have received that support from us to be able to continue to do that work. There are several banks, Viridian, Bankers Trust, Midwest One, that all provide that kind of support and or funding. There are definitely national grants out there that are available, as well as if there's a nonprofit organization who is serving low to moderate income individuals and their goal is financial literacy, they can apply through the government to become a CDFI, and then they would be eligible for additional funding. So, and sorry, CDFI is Community Development Financial Institution. And ultimately with those funds, they will be able to further their impact in that work. So there are definitely a number of avenues to get funding for financial literacy programming. It's just, it really is dependent on what your product is and how many people you're serving and the impact side of it as well.
Yep. And awesome. We have at the county, so Polk County people, spread the word. We have betterment grants and sponsorship opportunities for basically building up the community. So I am always just big in trying to spread the word that we do have funding at the county to help in initiatives of bettering the community. So I'm happy to share those informations later on, but those are stuff that is available to organizations, communities that want to do something that really is just benefiting the community. So.
Awesome. And one that I forget and I should be lifting up more is Iowa Finance Authority.
Yeah.
They sponsor and offer different courses for financial literacy as well as home ownership. They offer a lot of education around that. So if that is something that your organization is interested in getting into, I would definitely check out the Iowa Finance Authority as they also provide down payment assistance.
Awesome. We'll make sure we include that link as well in information provided. And then Cindy also dropped in the chat a link to Iowa State Extension, has staff material available statewide as well. So another statewide resource for sure. Janine has a question. What are your guys' thoughts about similar services in rural communities in Iowa? Are there gaps that we're missing in rural Iowa? Are there branches, Lindsay, that you know of that are doing some outreach in some of those more rural communities?
Yes. So rural Iowa has always been a challenge, right? Because when what I consider rural might not actually be rural to the people that are considering. So like We have branches in Fort Dodge and Grinnell, and I consider those rural, but those communities don't necessarily consider themselves rural Iowa. So I do think that we need to plan and have better strategies, because again, a lot of times with these grants and programs, they're looking for impacted numbers. And you get that more in the metropolitan communities. And then unfortunately, our rural partners get left behind. For me and the work that I do alongside Iowa Finance Authority, we go everywhere. So if there is a community organization that is looking for financial literacy support, you know, Iowa Finance Authority will go to all 99 counties. Green State, we serve all 99 counties. So we can deliver financial literacy in a number of ways, whether it's virtual or in person. We would need to be made aware that there is that need. And our goal would be to connect that organization or group with our closest branch. But I also recommend, because I believe in all 99 counties, we have some sort of bank, financial institutions, or savings bank, to start with your local institution. Because of how we are regulated, there are components of financial literacy that we have to provide and that we are supposed to be doing. And so I would start with the financial institutions that are in your community and ask them, what do they have available and how can they support the growth of that community as it relates to financial literacy? And then from there, if you're not feeling like you're being served, then begin to branch out. But the closer the organization or the financial institution is to your community, I would say the deeper ties that they'll want to have and the more impact they will be able to make.
And one of the things that we do at the county is we do a lot of community outreach. And I didn't speak on this, but we have the Polk County Financial Empowerment Center that provides professional financial counseling for Polk County residents at no cost. And one of the initiatives is that they're reaching people where they're at. So if you want us to come into your community for an event, to table at an event, please invite us. You know, we don't know unless you tell us. You know, we try to reach as many people. We're Polk County. We serve all people. We saw all communities. So just let us know, reach out to us, and we will show up.
Fantastic. Well, it's good to know, like, the financial institutions, there's some sort of incentive to work and provide financial literacy for their community members. So I was not aware that some of the regulations associated. So that's good to know for folks that is maybe a partner that maybe isn't typically brought to the table, especially with local public health agencies, as we work on addressing some of these barriers, but bringing those folks to the table as well. So thank you both. That's some good information for sure for us to know about. I don't see any other questions in the Q&A, and I haven't seen anything pop up in the chat, so I will go to my next question. What methods have you seen being successful in helping populations navigate or receive resources to improve their financial literacy?
I have a list. So the biggest thing is showing up, meeting people where they're at, and engaging. I love community navigators that look like the people that you're speaking to, because there's that level of trust. Now, if you don't look like the people that you're speaking to, create that trust, build that relationship, build that rapport, and let them know that you're there to support them. But it's really big on that relationship, building that. You can't just show up once and then the next year you'll show up again. You know, that's not consistent. It has to be that level of trust. So community navigators, resources and information in multiple languages. You know, you think about all the people that you serve. So at Polk County State of Mind and what I do, who am I not serving? Who am I excluding? And let me make sure that they feel included, they feel like they belong, and they feel represented. And also attending events, you know, that are hosted by the people in those communities, show up, build relationships, break bread together, you know, all these things. It's because I think it more in line of is those personal connections and those personal conversations that you have with people and say, like I said, with my supervisor, I don't know what an HSA is. I know what it is now. Y'all don't have to tell me. But, you know, being comfortable to come to you and say, what are these things? Or someone coming to me and saying, hey, you got a bank account, you know, things of that nature. So building that relationship, building that rapport, and community navigators and representation matters.
Absolutely.
To add to that list, I would say partnerships with organization, public-private partnerships, partnering with local churches. They're the ones that have the trust, right? If they can get people to show up once a week, every Sunday for a period of time, they obviously have the ear to that group or that congregation. So utilizing those types of relationships to really be the voice and the vehicle behind all of this, because if their congregation thrives, then their church will thrive. And oftentimes we don't like to talk about that, especially on the business side, right? Like, we don't want to bring church into it. But the reality is like, you have to go where the trust is. And so having those relationships and developing those relationships is really important. One thing I also wanted to call out are employer-based wellness programs that include a component of financial literacy, right? Like, as large organizations and small ones, we want to focus on making sure our healthcare premiums are small. We want to focus on the wellness of our employees, but we forget the financial side, right? And we've got to keep that piece as a part of that program. If there are incentives around your wellness program, like reduced premiums or extra dollars in the HSA, you know, include a component of financial literacy in earning those premiums. One thing that we offer, again, is our online classes that we can set up systems that allow employers to be the admin, and we don't get any of the financial information, and they get limited information, but they can kind of track and see how which employees are progressing through the classes and how well they're doing. And it allows them to maybe cater some of their if they're doing internal financial literacy, it caters the financial literacy to what their workforce needs. So there are solutions around that, and that don't just exist within Green State or other financial organizations. There are platforms that are out there that larger employers and small can take advantage of. But my stand is like, I encourage that to be a part of your employment offering, especially because a lot of us in Iowa, if you look at the data, we have employees that are living in poverty or that aren't necessarily making a livable wage. And oftentimes the solution is pay them more, right? Yes, we would love to do that. But one way that you can do the, help them without necessarily paying them more if you don't have the ability is to provide financial literacy and to be able to show them how they can make their money work for them, how to budget, how to set up investments, how to do an HSA. Because, you know, I was like Keisha years ago, I had no idea how much money I was missing out on for my family to be able to take advantage of. And it was money that is mine, you know, essentially. And I didn't understand lowering my taxable income through my HSA and other things like that. And so we can't assume that people know what we have because we offer it. We have to really educate them around these products and services that are available. And the last thing is just policy intervention, right? Because we can only do so much, but there are policies in place that are detrimental to marginalized people and people of color. So we should always be advocating for a livable wage and different policies that will move our communities forward.
And I'll piggyback on a couple of things that Lindsay said. The incentives for employees, I speak on ours where, you know, for us to do financial education through our wellness program, that points towards us getting money from the wellness program back. And I think that's the drive money. You gonna give me money to educate myself? Yes. So that's great. So it's like understanding your employees, understanding the people that you serve and what is going to bring them to educate themselves. Sometimes you do have to have those incentives. So appreciative of that, you know, for Polk County. But I also wasn't aware as an employee that we had a credit union in our office. And I've been at Polk County for 2 years and I learned 2 years, 2 years that we had a credit union that was available. And educating our employees that we have all these resources available to you. But how we're communicating that to you on a regular basis, you know, once you start here, you're filled with all this information, but how are we continuously letting you know, hey, this is available to you?
Great. And Rebecca, thank you for sharing. She put in the chat that the state of Missouri employees has, the state has implemented a monthly learning curriculum to learn about the state employee benefits, MO benefits. So that's pretty, that's a great opportunity for folks. And I'm not sure if the state of Iowa has similar type of programming, but it sounds like Keisha, maybe at the county level, at least within Polk, there's some of that opportunities to learn as well. So another avenue is not only looking at your employer, but maybe what is happening at, if you're a state employee or other nonprofit employee.
I see that someone called out Proteus, and yes, Proteus is awesome. And they've been a great support for our rural farming communities. They do offer financial literacy education supports, job training, as well as they also offer some healthcare supports to that workforce. And they have been a huge asset to Iowa. And so supporting Proteus and other programs like it will help our rural communities continue to grow and thrive.
Absolutely. How can local public health agencies assist in eliminating financial literacy barriers? Are there strategies that can be put in place that will help ensure access for all? And what sort of support do they need?
I think something easy that they can do is to provide literature in multiple languages around financial literacy, and or being kind of a bridge to options within their community or within the space that they are serving and representing. Also, just the navigation of public health and the services that are available, and explaining like what is free, what is at cost, like, and even just like the preventative, right? Oftentimes people that are experiencing like situations where their finances are not great, they're not good at preventative care. They're worried about keeping food on the table and just the surviving day to day. So even providing information about how preventative care can lower their healthcare costs and like just doing early testing and screenings if available, and navigation with their insurance.
Utilizing community navigators and sharing those experiences. So having people who have utilized these programs and these resources, you know, talking to individuals that look like them, you know, my biggest thing again is like, the word of mouth, word of mouth is huge. So if you can help in educating people, preparing people to talk to other people about these things, it's amazing. Your staff, what is it? I'm thinking about like when Johnson County Public Health has the breastfeeding peer counselors. Those are people that should be educated because you're interacting with the community. So educating them, the people that you use for, I can't think of the word, you know, not permanent services, but temporarily, you know, but they're engaging with the community, educating them so they can help in spreading the word.
Oh, absolutely. And I think you both touched on some great resources there. I think when we start thinking about building that trust, like who else can we build the trust for? Keisha, excellent idea with the breastfeeding peer educators. Like that's awesome. And again, something that could be very simple to implement into the conversation that they're already having with the trust that they've built with the clientele that they're working with. So some of those great avenues and expanding more of some of those topics and tools that those folks that are already reaching some of the at-risk populations or the more vulnerable populations have that interaction with. And then again, continuing to build that trust and that relationship is huge.
Well, and I would even add to just innovation within this space. I was at an event with Every Step and they were talking about maternal health and doula support. And one of the things that I posed to them and asked was, have you ever advocated with employers to subsidize the cost of a doula? Because us as employers, we want to retain our workforce. We want to retain people. And when you think about the breakdown of that cost overall, it was around like $1,500. How amazing would it be if my employer came up with, a third or half of that cost as a part of my wellness benefit or a part of my benefits? And how would that change the workforce and how people are interacting with their companies, right? If, like, for me, I had an employer that paid my tuition, and that caused me to stay with them several years in addition to completing my degree. One, because it was a part of the policy, but also because I felt a sense of loyalty to them for assisting me with that tuition. And so as we start to think about, as like corporate employers, as we start to think about benefit plans, how do we start to think outside the box of what is tradition, right? Because now you're starting to see, instead of tuition assistance, student loan repayment assistance up to a certain amount. And we're seeing other types of benefits that we didn't see 10, 15 years ago. So how can we take different healthcare initiatives and incorporate them into our wellness plans for our employees?
And when I think
So, and
about,
yes,
oh,
Iowa
sorry,
Black
go
Doula
ahead.
Collective is amazing.
When I think of financial literacy, for me, it's not always just how do I save? How do I increase my income? Sometimes it's just like insurance. How can I be cost effective? Now that I know all about insurance, I signed up for every insurance. But it's all because I want to be preventative. Like, I want to, if something comes up, I'm not going to worry as much because I have insurance. I know that I'm not going to have to come out of pocket as much because I have insurance. So I think about those things and I always think just preventative wise, like, how could I save myself stress in the future? And if I'm going to put all the insurance on me, that's it is what it is, but it's going to save me stress and financial hardship in the future.
Absolutely. We've talked about this a little bit, but who are some of the local and state partners that you would want to make sure that local public health agencies and other agencies are on the call today to be partnering with? We've mentioned churches, we've mentioned maybe their financial institutions in their communities, but what are some other partners that you would recommend? I know you talked also about the Iowa Finance as well.
Yeah, so Iowa Finance Authority is always a major player when it comes to the homeownership space. They are who all of us, and when I say all of us, banks, credit unions, go through for FHA and VA type loans, and then our rural USDA loans. And those loan products are really meant for Iowans to thrive. And because a lot of us participate with them, we get access to those products. And so really starting with them to learn about their options and who their partners are and who they recommend is key because they're really non-biased. Obviously, I work for Green State, so I'm going to always raise the green banner, if you will. But there are a ton of financial partners across the state that are doing amazing work and they're not hard to find because you see them, you see their names on your kids' little league banners, and you see them at the different parades and at different community gatherings. And so I would really start there. I mean, Keisha called it out, like the organizations that are showing up and constantly in these spaces, making their services known and available. And yes, I see someone put it, the Iowa Credit Union, like, they're awesome, and their goal is to support Iowans and our credit unions. And because we are member owned, we work for you. We're people helping people is our tagline. And so I always am going to champion credit unions as well because that is what we exist to do, is to serve within our field of membership. And so those are a few. But even like with Keisha, like we want to support the county and lift up the counties. We work across the state with different local government and municipalities to be able to understand what it is that their goals are and how can we further make an impact with what their goals are. So there's just a plethora of different options. And so depending on what community you're in, I would say start with your local government resources and go from there.
I can't think of anything except like the communities, nonprofits that are serving these marginalized communities, for them to be able to have a seat at the table, and also just for us to collectively come together and say, how can we better serve everyone together? You know, and what are the cross, you know, things that are happening that we're not sending people all over. But one thing I love is the Evelyn K. Davis Center is just a hub for everything. And it's a one-stop shop for people. It's a lot of times that we start to lose people when we're saying, go here, then go here, then go here, then go here. You lose people probably at the, for me, you lose me at the second go here. You know, so I can only imagine of how many other people have been lost because they've been told to go to all of these different places, all unfamiliar to them. So it's like, what, how can we make it easier and work together collectively to make it easy for people?
Absolutely. Kind of that no wrong door approach. Again, it looks like they, Iowa State Extension and Outreach has also been listed as a great resource. And then Gloria learned from the feds, the Federal Reserve Chicago hosted a racial wealth gains and gaps, nine economic facts about disparities, an informative webinar last Thursday. And she went ahead and put that link in there. I will also, Gloria, thank you for sharing that. I will also make sure we send that out in our information as well. So that's a great resource. I had not heard of that webinar, so that'd be a great one to share with the group here as well. Again, if you have questions, comments in that, feel free to shoot that in the chat or put that in the Q&A. My next question for you guys. Are organizations or individuals who have not previously been involved in financial literacy, but are interested in getting involved, where would you recommend them to start?
So from an organization perspective, most organizations have some sort of bank account or financial services that they're seeking. So I often tell them to start with where you're currently doing business, because you're doing business with them. They should be valuing you and your business and looking for the best solutions for your organization. As an individual, I will tell you, go where you are served and you are being served. Don't feel like because your grandparents started you an account with this credit union that you have to stay there because you've had that account for years. That is not the case. You can go just about wherever, and get your financial needs met. I will strongly caution you away from our friends that are in the payday loan business. Those are not places that we should be sending people, but oftentimes there's a large part of our population here in Iowa, individuals that don't have social security numbers, feel like they have to go to those places and or they have to use gas stations to cash checks. There are several credit unions that do offer services to people that are ITIN holders and will serve them and allow them to have accounts with full access, lending products. And so Green State is one of those organizations, and there are several others like Viridian and others across our state. And so I just want to encourage people to reach out to, especially if you're dealing with someone that is an immigrant or a refugee, reach out to your local agencies that are meant to support them. So we have a few here in Polk County, but I know that there are some across the state. They will know who the partners are. they have formed relationships with financial institutions, and they will know where those people need to go to get service. If you find yourself serving someone that is in that demographic or population, don't be afraid to reach out to those agencies that are meant to help them with resettlement, because they can get you connected to organizations that will give them the support that they need.
Piggybacking off of Lizzie, your local government, so your city, especially when you're a newcomer in the area, they have resources on their website to welcome individuals and let them know what is available in the community. Your employer, you know, a trusted source, you know, speaking to your employer. What I am starting at Polk County is an ambassador program to connect seasoned employees with new employees. So you have someone to talk to about some things like, hey, maybe you are new to the area. And say, do you know of any, I'm going to talk about hair places I could go to, you know, do you know of great places, food places I can go to? What about banks? Who do you bank with? So going to the places that you know. So again, your employer, municipalities. So Polk County has resources. And a lot of people don't think that. They're like, but we serve the people. So, you know, so we have a plethora of resources on our website. And then your local city government, they have resources as well to welcome people, to let them know what we have available for you.
Mm-hmm. Great. So we've talked about this, and you both have touched on it a little bit. But what are other possible entry points or resources that we should encourage not only maybe individuals that are struggling to be able to share, you know, resources or where to start, but then organizations that are trying to connect within the community? Are there entry points or additional resources that we would want to direct them to?
But it's all about getting to know your community and knowing who is in the community. And for me and Lizzie, we are always at events, you know, and we piggyback off of each other. And I'm so appreciative of the connection that we have, because it's been, who am I not reaching, you know, and having those resources and saying, well, you haven't reached this. I'll say I've done a religious experience, visiting different religious entities within Des Moines. I did not know that these places existed. I did not know that these cultural backgrounds existed. So sometimes it's extending outside of your comfort zone and saying, what can I learn more about the people that we serve and the cultures that we serve? So I challenge everyone, you know, try something different and take a step outside of your comfort zone and say, reach out to communities that you haven't reached out to before. You know, show up and build relationships, because that is what's important. It's those relationships is going to help in harvesting change in the future and educating people and learning new things and being a community and just coming together. I love this, coming together, you know, together and supporting one another.
I would say one entry point that we haven't mentioned, but I think deserves being referenced, is the education side. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes our public schools have community navigators that are working to make sure that their school have the resources that they need and the support. So you could definitely, that would be an entry point, and just learning, like, especially if you're area specific, if you're wanting to impact a certain area, figuring out who's supporting that school and that those families. And typically you could go from there, and it branches out kind of like a tree, right? Like you start in one spot and then you get more and more and more. But yeah, I feel like education is definitely an entry point, as well as our colleges and universities and our community colleges. They offer a ton of resources. I can't tell you how many times I see adult learner classes that are free. And I'm just like, I had no idea that, you know, they were offering that, because the perception is college costs. But there's a lot of no credit classes that are available to our community and community members. And just from that standpoint, learning about that to be able to tell people about those opportunities is really key.
I think you bring it up, the education for the schools, because we should be teaching our youth about how to be financially responsible, But it's like saved until like, oh, until you get a job, then we're going to open up a bank account for you. But if we can get our youth and say the importance of financial literacy, of being knowledgeable of how you spend things, like we could change the world, you know, just start young.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yes. I would love for financial literacy to be a part of the Iowa curriculum, and not to wait until high school, but really to start in elementary and middle school. And there are programs, right? Like Junior Achievement is over in Eastern Iowa as well as Central Iowa. And they do an amazing job of engaging young people early with financial literacy. And so making sure that those programs continue to exist are going to be key if we can't get that into our curriculum as a whole. So yes.
Absolutely. We have a little less than 2 minutes left. Keisha, Lindsay, thank you so much for your time today and sharing your expertise. I honestly learned a lot today. Obviously, I'm not as financial literate as I thought I was. So thank you for sharing your expertise. Thank you for providing us some good touch points on where some local public health agencies, our state partners, and other folks that are on the line today, where they can at least start those conversations and some of those entry points. Everyone who is online today, I encourage you to join our mailing list for the Building Health Equity site. This was our first spring. You guys were our kickoff, so you set the bar high for us this spring. So this was our first spring webinar. We will have three more throughout the rest of the spring. Again, various topics of maternal health, gender-based violence, and community partnerships. So be on the lookout for that information on our future webinars, and we'll post more about that again on our website and if you join our email distribution list. Again, Lindsay, Keisha, thank you so much. It was a pleasure chatting with both of you today. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Have I'm a great day.
You too. Take care.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you for joining us today. Special thanks to Tricia Kitzman, Tasneem Ali, Cynthia Maharani, Natalie Peters, Melissa Richland, and the speakers who have shared their expertise with us. Theme music for the Building Health Equity podcast series was composed and produced by Dave Hoeing and Roger Heilman. Funding for the Building Health Equity initiative is provided by the Iowa Department of Health and Human Services. Please see the podcast notes for an evaluation link and a transcript. For additional resources and information, or to view the video webinar recordings, be sure to visit www.buildinghealthequity.com.